Well, hopefully we're live. Welcome to the Path Forward for July 24th. It's been an hour of cursory IT setup to get everything up and running, which has been frustrating all day. This will be a fairly short sit rep, especially given the fact that it's been a day. And even the chat's not working right today for whatever reason, but it is what it is. So here we go. I did an interview today with Tommy Kerrigan and E.M. Burlingame. We talked through, it was really just, hey, where are things at? What are you seeing? And I don't know if you're keeping up with the news, but Starlink was down most of the day. I don't know if it's back up or not. I haven't checked in the last few minutes, but as of about 45 minutes ago, it wasn't back up, which is unusual that they wouldn't be publishing, especially on X, that Starlink wasn't back up. In fact, trying to look for the post right now, it looks like Elon posted something almost an hour ago. Yeah, no updates. That's interesting. And I don't know if you remember from, well, I'm going to say probably 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, there was several outages that were going on across the spectrum. And I've seen a lot of attacks in the last couple of months. I'd be curious to see what this is. And yeah, as of a few minutes ago, Breaking Alert is still saying it's down. Nothing that says it's back up. So that should tell you that things are starting to progress. But anyway, I want to get back to what we talked about today on Tommy Kerrigan's show. One of the things that I get a lot of feedback on is what do I mean by signal versus noise? I mean two things. So when I talk about signal, I'm talking about actual events going on in the background. Like while we were all wrapped up with Epstein and with the Obama trial and with all the noise and distraction, the signal was passing the Genius Act, which is basically restrictions on Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, all while we were quietly in the background. And in quietly in the background, while we were all worried about Epstein and the Epstein files, they swore in four Silicon Valley executives from Meta, from OpenAI, and I can't remember the last one, Palantir, as lieutenant colonels in the Army. And you have to ask the question, why, right? So you hear me talking about signal versus noise. That's what I'm talking about. The signal in all this is what are they actually doing versus what's the noise of what's being said, who said what new tweet or what new Truth Social post that Trump has. I don't care about any of that. Most of the time, I don't even watch it. The other thing that I usually don't pay attention to is I don't pay attention to a lot of the narratives on Twitter, because if you watch Twitter long enough, you'll be able to pick out the bot accounts. There's a lot of accounts that post 15, 20, 30 posts a day, sometimes 50 posts a day. I've seen it up to 50. That's noise. That's AI. That's AI-driven noise. And it's getting louder and louder. I mean, there's a couple of accounts. One of them goes by the name of Hustle Bitch. It's like 20, 30 posts a day, even on my best day, even when I'm, you know, going after somebody like Jay Inslee or Bob Ferguson or somebody in the Washington State politics or Pramila Jayapal. Even that, my max is maybe 20 posts a day. And that's if I'm full tilt into Twitter or into Telegram, either platform, maybe 20 posts. Maybe 20 is like a maximum. And if I'm doing content, like responding to a thread, outlining where the narratives are, outlining where the information and disinformation is, that's five, maybe six posts a day. So signal are the things they're actually doing. the things that impact you and I, like moving into Ukraine, that's Signal. Moving NATO troops to the border of Ukraine, that's Signal. Those are actual things. It's actually happening. Now, what can you do about it? Probably nothing. Probably can't do jack shit about it, but that's not the point. The point is you focus on the Signal, because then you can build a bigger picture of what they're actually doing and where things are going. And today we had a bit of a disagreement. I mean, for the most part, EM and I and Bracken and I, well, even Michael Young, we all have the same general view of the world. And most of us don't pay attention to the day-to-day noise. And, you know, we didn't talk about Epstein today, but we did talk about Epstein today. And here's the Signal in all of that. The Signal is that there's definitely some overlapping participants in both scenarios. And the whole situation is very incestuous anyway, and with all the NGOs, with all the political organizations, with all the endowments from the universities, with all the research, with all the USAID money, with all the organizations that are funded by USAID, you can see how there's overlap in just about all these different operations. And Epstein's just one of those operations. Fast and Furious, the January 6th, the Russiagate, all of those things, same players that were in Russiagate are same players that went to the island. And, you know, typically 1 to 2% of the population has some kind of a weird fetish like pedophilia, or they're into, you know, animals or whatever they're into, right? There's always a percentage of the population that's into that stuff. But in this case, there's a lot more people that are voluntarily in this than you would imagine. And there's some very rich and powerful people. Politics in and of itself attracts, generates, and really rewards people that are psychopaths and sociopaths, especially the sociopaths. And these people are drunk with power. They're narcissistic. So they have no moral conscience. They have no moral compass that guides them in the right direction to say, yeah, that's mostly bad. And the ones that do have a moral compass don't stay in politics. They get in for a very brief period of time and then they get out. And the ones that are lifetime politicians compromise probably in multiple ways. So some of them are compromised willingly. Some of them are compromised by being either coerced into it or they were tricked into it. Then there's others that are just outright bribed. Others that are just there for the power and the influence. There's others that are there that are there to enrich themselves. And the system can't be reformed. That's where we all agree, is that the system can't be reformed. And most of us, if you're still paying taxes, then you're still playing in a broken system. You're still playing in a system that has to collapse in order for real change to happen. And so anything that you see, anything you hear that comes out of DC, it's all noise. The Signal is what they're actually doing. What are they actually in the process of building? So EM and I, you know, we generally, let's just say we agree to disagree, that he believes that the social scoring system and the control grid, it's all noise and it's all distraction away from stealing the wealth. I think they're all tied together. I think they're stealing the wealth and they're looting the bank vault before the bank closes and extracting the last bit of wealth, because now they're going after 401ks. To say that you can, that venture capital can invest in 401ks and that 401ks can invest in venture capital, I don't know if you know anything about how all of that works, but forever and ever, any kind of a venture fund or an investment house that was buying .coms or funding .coms, maybe 20% hit, maybe. And they have a lot of investment that goes underwater. So it's very speculative. So for the most part, most of the retirement funds stayed away from that kind of speculative investing because there's too much of a propensity to lose money. And the whole point of investing in a 401k versus the pension funds is so that your money grows over time, right? Time value of money. Well, by allowing, you know, investment companies and hedge funds or 401ks to invest in hedge funds, you're just opening up the floodgates for not only speculative, but you're opening up the floodgates for massive losses and another bubble. And that's the last bit of wealth that they need to steal from everyone, is the retirement sources. And think about it this way. You know, a lot of us are over 50. Some of us are in our 70s. Some are approaching 80s. Imagine all that money wiped away overnight, which is literally what happened in the Great Depression. Now, it took over a year for the full effects of the Depression to really hit the population, but people lost money almost overnight. And I don't know anybody that has any reserves on hand besides, you know, a few silver and gold coins. So if they take away the retirements, the retirement income for people, you're going to see a lot of people really suffer. And everybody agrees that we're headed towards a culmination point. I've been talking about it for almost 3 years now. And I've also been talking about the fact that they've accelerated their timeline, which has made them get sloppy and information's come out. Now, another place we disagreed, and the interview should be out tomorrow, and I'll post it on Telegram and on my X account so you can go watch it. There's a couple of different points where we don't necessarily agree, but we don't necessarily disagree. And two things can be true at once. He thinks that the revolution, because I think revolution's inevitable at this point, and I think that's really what the elite don't care. They either want a civil war, they want a revolution. They want kinetic conflict. But at the same time, I think we're headed towards a revolution regardless now. And the catalyst is where we all disagree. And to his point, he thinks that it's going to start when they try to remove judges. He may be right about that. I don't like the fact that, you know, it always boils down to fucking lawyers, but it is what it is. If that's the case, then it'll be a state-to-state asymmetric fight, which I firmly agree with, and I think that's going to happen. I think that's organically programmed to happen, because you have a mass exodus of conservatives from a lot of these blue states, and you have liberals moving away from conservative states. You get to a certain density, a certain mass, civil war. You get to a certain density, a certain mass of taxation, fraud, et cetera, a certain percentage of the population that sees how corrupt the system is and there's no reforming. And irregardless of political outlook or political belief system, revolution. When the bulk of the population realizes, no matter which party they're affiliated with, if the government's not there and is not what it's supposed to be, it doesn't matter what your political views are, you are going to take out the government. And to me, that's what they're deathly afraid of. The variable that I proposed, which goes along with both the numerology and the astrology side of this, and I, trust me, I've lost thousands of listeners and thousands of audience members because of my views on this, but our enemy uses numerology and astrology to plan their events. Whether you like that or not, or whether I like that or not, that's the game. That's how they play their game. And if you look at the charts, right now, at this moment in time, the chart is almost identical to where the country was at during the Revolutionary War. Death and rebirth is really the cycle that we're in. And that's right now. That's not 5 years from now. It's not 2 years from now. It's not a year from now. It's right now. And I believe that that culmination point is going to be reached because a lot of the systems in our government right now just need a nudge. They don't need a push, just a nudge. And they will collapse because the system's that fragile. Especially when you look at the liquidity markets and the banking system, I mean, Luongo's been talking about it for quite some time, but the reality is that China is on the brink. We're on the brink. Europe's definitely on the brink. And one nudge will send it over the edge. And I think that nudge is going to come from somebody on either end of the pole, either a staunch conservative or staunch liberal that's, you know, both believe in their religion and they're technically savvy and they go off the reservation. And all they do need to do is just push a system a certain way, take down a system, shut it down, take it offline, take a segment of the network offline, take a segment of the government systems offline. Catastrophe. That's how I think it's going to develop, because nobody wants to be the one to pull the trigger. Nobody, and you know, EM made this point today, which we've all said it in different ways, but nobody wants to be the one to pull the trigger. Everybody's waiting for somebody else to be the catalyst to pull the trigger. It's why it's this slow, miserable burn towards oblivion. Nobody wants to be the one responsible for the shot heard around the world. We already heard that shot. That shot happened on November 8th of 2022 when they stole the 2022 election. When Carrie Lake, Mark Fincham, and can't remember who was running for AG, Abe Hamadeh, were basically stripped of those posts, shot heard around the world. But nobody wants to admit that that was a shot heard around the world. And ever since then, it's been this slow burn towards, you know, who's going to pull the trigger first. At some point, I think somebody's going to get fed up and go off the reservation and say, you know what, I'm just going to take down a system and take this shit out of their control. Because as you move up the ladder towards complexity, as you add more complex systems to an already complex society, it's just a matter of one system going down to be catastrophic to the whole system. And that's exactly where we are. I believe that to be one of the paths that can take us down that road. The other path is removing judges, because the other quiet thing that's been going on and a lot of the noise generated is the Otto Penn legal fight is still going on. And if you don't know what the Otto Penn legal fight is, that is basically the Biden staff used Otto Penn to sign executive orders, to do appointments, sign legislation, etc. And whatever was signed with Otto Penn is null and void, which means any of the pardons, any of the appointments, and there was a Supreme Court appointment, if you remember, several federal judges were appointed. If that reset if Trump is trying to push that reset through right now, and that's really the focus of all of this, then you will see state versus state, and this will start off via removal of judges. I firmly believe that. And he's probably right. And by the way, that sounds like and tastes like fucking poison coming out of my mouth. But, you know, you got to give credit where credit's due. You know, Bracken seems to think that there's still going to be a terrorist attack here. I think that gets less and less likely, but it's plausible and possible. So the other part of signal versus noise is what's possible and what's plausible. Just because it's possible doesn't mean it's plausible. And the plausibility of something is where you hang your hat. Because if there's a high probability something's going to happen and it's possible, guess what? You need to pay attention to it. I think the terrorist side of the house, I think that's a lower and lower probability the farther we go. And I say that because, and I've pretty much said that all along, that it's a low probability because, again, nobody wants to be the one to pull the trigger. Most of the nation state actors are pulling back and preparing for World War III. They're not going to precipitate a world war right now, especially with Trump in office, because they know that there's only one place that leads. And it's basically you shoot your wad and then you're done. meaning your terror cells go out, they kill some people, they get smoked, and then the object of everyone's desire turns to you. There's no part of that that's a win for anyone. And Al-Qaeda learned that the hard way. When they started the war with the U.S. kept bringing troops, but they were getting smaller and smaller and smaller in numbers because they were getting smoked. They hadn't thought through the logistics of replenishment supply and fresh troops. So they really didn't have a training program or any fallback areas where they could operate because we were operating everywhere. And the same holds true for a terror attack. So I don't put a lot of stock in that. You know, and Matt talks about how drones could take out an entire Air Force in a matter of minutes. He is absolutely right. But I see that kinetic fight developing during a major fight with another nation state like we're seeing right now between Russia and Ukraine. The attack on the strategic bombers was a wake-up call to everybody. And even though we have treaties in place, that was a wake-up call to everybody, including Putin. But again, I only see that during a major conflict. And I should remind everybody that because of the Ukraine conflict, it was, you know, could have been solved in a month, which has gone on now for almost 3 years. We've basically exhausted all of our war stocks. We've sent almost all of it over to Ukraine. And we don't have the production capacity to replenish any of it. Not, at least not in a time frame that would prepare us for a 2030 or 2027 world war with China or with Russia. And remember, Russia's in the middle of a fight right now. So if they have to refocus those troops away from Ukraine, they're going to be battle-hardened. So we're going to be facing battle-hardened troops in Russia, probably not battle-hardened in China, and the same with North Korea. Will it be even? Who knows? But without the equipment and the logistics and the supplies to fight a war, losing proposition no matter how you look at it. So there's a just because the terror side of it is possible doesn't mean it's probable. And look, I could be wrong. But I see our own government, I see the own corruption, I see the fact that our federal government and most of the employees, most of the elected officials are privately owned by oligarchs influencing policy. That doesn't lend itself to an enemy from a, you know, foreign enemy attacking us. That lends itself to the idea that our own government and our own intelligence agencies are plotting against us in every way, shape, and form, which means that the fight will start right here, probably under the guise of something else, like removing a federal court judge or a Supreme Court judge. So there's a lot of variables to this that can play out in a variety of ways. And it doesn't matter what your political views are. The point is, you got to start being, you know, looking at being prepared now. You're probably already too late, but, you know, you have to start now. And one of the other points today was that, you know, the U.S. doesn't need, we don't need anything externally to be able to produce everything we need and operate with fossil fuels right here. We have all of that right here, right under our feet. We don't need any foreign influence to do anything. We can do it all. So getting back to that is where I think we need to head. But again, this system has to fail for that to happen. Now, the conversation about the Fed, my view of the Fed is the Fed's useful until it's not. And the scandal around the building and whatever, the office space, I don't care. The signal in that is going to be, do they do quantitative tightening or do they do quantitative easing? Because QT was what Powell was doing, and him not wanting to budge and leaving the interest rates high because of the bond rates, not a bad idea. Does it suck for all of us? Yes. Does it make it harder to buy a home? Yes. But remember, when they were doing QE after 2008, we got down to like 0% interest and it was the Wild West. And none of the banks could, you know, pass a stress test. The problem in the market is not the rates, it's the liquidity. And pal there, pal not there, it doesn't matter. At some point, the Treasury is going to take over the Fed and they're going to do away with the Fed. I don't think it's this year. I don't think it's next year. I think it's a few years away. One thing that is signal that most people aren't paying attention to is Trump is gutting the IRS. He's gutting it. And that's a good thing for you and I. But does that mean they're going to defund it? Does that mean they're going to disband the IRS? I don't know. I don't think so. I think we have a higher propensity for an economic shakeup or economic crash than the IRS being disbanded. I definitely think they've refocused a lot of the ATF and they're not paying attention to the gun conversation right now. And that should tell you that they've got some pretty good technology if they're not worried about firearms. So if you look hard enough, you can see all the signal around you. You can see the fact where they've diverted resources. They've focused resources. Like right now, their biggest focus is on stable coins. You listen to Martin Armstrong's interviews, either with Alex Jones or he did one with Mike Ferris, or he did one with Greg, I can't think of his name, USA Watchdog. He talks about stable coins are essentially greenbacks from 1863. It's the same thing, buying sovereign debt internally. And it's because none of our allies are buying debt. They're offloading American debt. So we're, again, all we need is a push, just a nudge. And the whole thing comes crumbling down. And what they're really afraid of is not the economy collapsing. They're not afraid of civil war. They're not even afraid of revolution. They're afraid of the country uniting against them. That's what they're really afraid of. They're actually afraid of the world doing that. Because if we throw off, what did he call them? The Praetorians. Not sure I like that term, but the elite. If we throw off the elite, the construct of money, the construct of the 40-day or 40-hour work week, the construct of the debt slavery system, it all washes away. And if people really woke up and realized how much of our entire existence is a construct, money's a construct. It's a piece of paper and it's a metal coin that is assigned value by people that control it. It's not, there's no value assigned to it by you and I. It's only the value that's printed on the face of it. It's a construct. It's like we started off talking about cryptocurrency. I'm not a crypto guy. I work in security. I work in ones and zeros all day. I see ones and zeros all day. To me, crypto is ones and zeros. It's fiction. It's a construct. It's assigned value by some arbitrary, you know, value system. And if they shut down or we get EMP'd, guess what? All your crypto's gone. And the only thing that's going to matter at that point, gold and silver, ammo, things you can trade. Money isn't going to be worth shit. And we're seeing people starting to realize it right now, that we need to burn the whole fucking system to the ground in order for something new and something, you know, equitable, something more clean can be put in its place. I mean, just the fact that we've allowed this to happen and we're watching this corruption right now should be a wake-up call for everyone. I mean, I don't know about you, but it infuriates the shit out of me when I see, you know, a smug son of a bitch like Lindsey Graham talking about how he's got a plan, regardless of Trump, to start the war. It means he's got the votes in the bag to start World War III. None of those assholes are going to fight it. None of them are going to do the recruiting. None of them are going to have to go and do any of the draft, but they'll vote for it. Why are they still alive? I'll tell you why. Because nobody wants to be the one that fires the first shot. That's why we haven't crossed the threshold. That's why we haven't stepped off the line departure. Because nobody wants to be that person. And nobody wants to be the one that shot Lincoln. John Wilkes Booth, do you want to be that guy? I mean, it's the perfect psychological operation. You create demons, you create icons, and you propagate that throughout history with multiple icons and multiple demons. And guess what? And if you look at Japan, Japan's a perfect example of what I'm talking about. After World War II, the country basically turned into pacifists. And they couldn't understand why we were so war, you know, bent on war and conflict. And it's one of the safest countries in the world. You can walk through downtown Tokyo, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, you won't be accosted. In fact, you probably won't even see litter on the street or garbage on the street. But you come to a Western country like the US, we have homeless camps with needles and garbage. I mean, night and day difference. But they've been bred to be passive. Their society has been, it's been buried in messaging for almost 70 years now, 80 years. War is bad, war is bad. Conform, conform, conform. So most of the Asian cultures are conformists. Whereas here in the US, yeah, we kind of conform. You know, we speed, we break some of the laws, but you know, we're not robbing banks. We still have a rules-based, law-based society, but it's not the same. That's what the elite have been banking. That's the messaging you've seen for 50 years, 60, 70, I'd say 100 years, probably 300 years, which is why nobody wants to be the one to pull the trigger. And in order for this to happen, like I said, I don't think it's going to be somebody pulling the trigger. I think it's going to be somebody doing something either through ones and zeros, or it'll be state to state. I hate to break it to you, but all the pieces and parts are in place for that to happen. The question you have to ask is what side of history am I going to be on? Am I going to be on the side that quietly accepts whatever's played out in front of me? Or am I going to be the person that bands together with my neighbors and we keep these shitheads out when they come to repossess our property, take our homes? I tell you where I'm going to be. I'm going to be out front when they show up with 100 guys saying, don't fucking come back here. Take your people. And if you come back here heavily armed, but expect a fight. Because I'd rather burn my fucking house down, something I've worked for my whole life, than give it up to you fucking carpetbaggers. That's how this should go. And that's how eventually I think it will go. But people are going to have to get hard and they're going to have to get resolved for that to happen, which means they're going to have to be really fucking uncomfortable for that to happen. And people just aren't uncomfortable. Let's face it. Eggs are still, you know, $3-4 a dozen. You go to Costco and get them for $4.99 for 18. Until that's like $25, $30 and it's all you eat, people aren't going to be uncomfortable. They were starting to get uncomfortable. And trust me, the rumbling scared the shit out of everybody in DC because they knew what was going to happen if people were priced out of existence. It would have gotten real fucking personal, real fucking quick, and they would have gone after the people that perpetrated it. So what do? They turn the volume down, they turn the temperature down, and they stay in the slow burn, which is where we're at right now. So to me, Epstein, the treason charges, Russiagate, all noise. You're never going to see all the Epstein files. In fact, I don't think all of them still exist. They've changed hands at least four times since Epstein had them. It implicates everybody in DC. It implicates all the intelligence agencies across the planet. It implicates four or five different administrations, probably more like 10. All the way back to the 60s after JFK was killed. And then it implicates several presidents, Bush, Clinton, probably Bush Jr., W., and Obama. You think they're going to let that out? It will burn down the whole fucking system. All of it. Full stop. They're not going to let that out. So you're never seeing that. The treason stuff. Okay. They've released how many pages of information that show blatant treason blatant RICO, racketeering, conspiracy. How many other charges can you throw in there? How many people have been arrested? Zero. Benghazi, zero. January 6th, zero. And all the same players that were involved in 2016 were involved in January 6th and throughout the Biden administration. And it's not just the people that were in charge. All the administrators, all the chiefs, all the section heads, all of the agency heads, all the SESs, everybody was complicit in it. So if treason was committed, a lot of people enabled that treason to happen, and a lot of people went along with the treason. And all of them have to get rolled up. If it was up to me, you already know what I would do. I'd be busting heads right now, and I'd start in Congress and work my way down. So you're not going to see any arrests. It's going to be a lot of left-handed, right-handed, off-handed masturbation, but you're not going to see any arrests. And if you do, it's going to be the token arrests, because they'd have to roll up at least 10,000 people just in D.C. alone. And that's just in D.C. That's not State Department. That's not all of the overseas envoys, all the ambassadors that were involved in that. I mean, you're talking about thousands of people. I don't think they have the balls to do it. They definitely don't have the support. And the narrative around Trump's in the Epstein files, Trump's not the Epstein files, I don't care. All fucking noise. All of it. If you went to the island, there's a tape. If you're on a tape, you hang. Questions? And it should be, you walk up in front of the judge, they read the charges, they show the tape, you walk outside, bang, done. That's how that should go for anybody who went to the island and had sex with children. Anybody that trafficked children, same thing. Anybody that murdered children, slow, painful death. Give them half the serum to kill them and then wait an hour while they're in agony and give them the other half, so they get a taste on the way out of what they did to a child. And then there's the fraudsters, the money launderers, the conspiracies, and all the other malfeasance throughout Washington, D.C. All of them need to be rolled up too. And, you know, when you look at politicians, especially Eric Swalwell, treason, hang. It should be that fast. All the evidence is there. And just because they're shaping right now and they're trying to get the public to accept an Obama arrest doesn't mean they're going to do it. I think they're going to come up with some bullshit reason why they can't arrest him, just like why they can't release the Epstein files, and it'll go on for 2 years until somebody goes off the reservation or the system fails. And Ian might be right. Might be 3 to 5 years away. I sure as hell hope not. I'm ready to get on with it. I'm just tired of this. Watching this day-to-day corruption, watching these retards on the left, you know, cheering and celebrating the castration, the grooming of children. I'm tired of all of it. And the noise doesn't bother me. It's the fact that nobody's resolved is what bothers me. That's what bothers me the most. I mean, every day that goes by, 25,000 kids are getting the vax. Every day that goes by, 20 to 40,000, well, that's 10 to 20,000 kids are being trafficked, which means they're either being trafficked into slavery, into some kind of a, you know, sex slavery or physical slavery or whatever the case may be, or death, or worse. At some point, people have to have enough. And I'm afraid that it's only going to happen when people are really uncomfortable. And the system needs just a nudge for that to happen. And that's where I see it going. I could be wrong, and I hope I am wrong. But, you know, I watched this clown show in D.C. around Epstein. And I know that the same people that are on the Diddy list are on the Epstein list. And I'm not talking about the flight logs. I'm talking about the list of people that they have videos of, they have audio recordings of, they have phone records of, they have logs of that were staying, that stayed at the property. Remember, Epstein had fucking cameras in every room of every house and every property that he owned. You couldn't go anywhere without being filmed in that place. So at some point, somebody's going to step forward with that information. And the first person that gets rolled up or the first person that gets implicated, they're going to burn the whole system down. And you're going to find out just how many people are implicated by this and just how deep this rabbit hole goes and just how insidious and how fucking evil these people really are, especially the Clintons. I hate those two sons of bitches worse than I hate the dentist and the drill. In fact, I'll take the dentist and the drill with no Novocaine and no gas over those two any day. And they are the tip of the iceberg. That's why you're never going to see it. So my advice to everybody is stay out of the noise because it's just noise. You can listen on Monday and come back on Friday and it'll be the same shit on Friday that it was on Monday. And you won't have missed anything. You can listen for 5 minutes on Friday and go, yep, I got the whole week. And you won't have to worry about anything. And you can go on with your life. At the same time, you know, I'm in the process of going through all my gear yet again. And, you know, I'm doing exercise now. I'm even with the, you know, sweltering temperatures. I'm trying to climatize myself to being outside when it's uber hot, when it's uber cold, trying to climatize myself to that, get my, you know, do it with my gear on. So my body gets used to it. Not that I think it's going to go that far to where I'm going to be outside 24/7, but you never fucking know. And I'm spending time with people I care about. I'm calling people that I care about. And I am literally reaching out almost every night. In fact, last night, spent 2 hours last night online gaming with my kid. I suck, but that's not the point of it. Point of it is we're on the phone playing a game together. It was great. The other night I was talking to my youngest who went to a concert. We're sharing videos from the concert. That to me is a secret sauce. The rest of this stuff, who's doing what, who's fucking who, and who's getting fat, I don't care. I don't care about any of that anymore. And I've done my level best over the last 4 years to get my friends and family prepared as much as I possibly could. And I'm hoping that, you know, hits pay dirt when things go sideways. That's where I'm focusing my attention. I'm not focusing on anything else. And I'm going to keep saying it. You're going to get tired of me saying this. But it bears repeating. Because we're all focused on the negative. Right? We're not focused on the positive. The positive in all this is we're seeing a revival of not just Christianity, but of believing in something, a higher power. And I'd like to say it's Christianity, but it's not. It's higher power. Because I have friends that are not Christians, but they believe in a higher power. And that to me is good news. More people are awake now than in 2020. That's good news. More people are waking up every single day to the malfeasance and the complete dysfunction of our, not only our federal government, but the state governments. That's good news. More people are starting to realize, and there's going to be a point, there's going to be a culmination point with this as well, when most people believe that their political beliefs are completely bullshit and that they are complete lies and that the people that they held in high regard are evil, dirty, lying, cheating grifters, a lot of people are starting to wake up to that more than you would think. You know, this recess away from the Epstein vote, which I think is all noise and theater anyway, it has changed a lot of opinions, a lot more than you might think. And I'll give you a case in point. After I got off the show today, I had got onto a meeting for work. And one of the people that I work with is, you know, uber liberal, And right while we were starting the meeting, she was talking, and she started talking about the Epstein stuff. And she goes, if this Epstein, she goes, I just started getting into this Epstein stuff. Who's following? And everybody's kind of nodding their heads. And she said, I'm just now getting into it. She goes, if this is real, everything I thought about our government is completely false. And, you know, one of the other guys in the room that knows me pretty well said, well, why don't you ask Steve? He knows a lot about this. And she goes, you know a lot about Epstein? I go, I did a staff study in 2009 about how bad the problem of pedophilia is across the planet, and especially in our government. It affects every institution in our society, every institution, not every agency, every institution, church, education, law enforcement. You can go all the way down, you can go all the way up the list. And she went, I had no idea. I go, most people don't. It was the best known secret in Washington, D.C. I said, but it affects every part of the country, and there's more than one island. And that's just the tip of the iceberg of what they were doing to kids. So yeah, everything you think you know is not true. And I just left it there. There's like 45 people on the call. And, you know, I said, look, I don't talk politics, but I know this domain very, very well. And I'll just leave it at that. And after the meeting, I probably had 10, 15 people message me on Teams. People are starting to wake up. They're starting to get it. And everybody knows there's a culmination point coming. Everyone. Everybody sees it coming. They see the culmination point, and they don't know what to do. Where do I go? What do I need to do? How do I get prepared for it? How do I get my family prepared for it? It's more than just food. It goes back to what I wrote a Substack article about this, about planning for bugging out. You know, we talk about bug out bags. We talk about using your vehicle as a bug out tool. We talk about what to keep in your house, caches, and bug out locations. Most people don't have a plan on how to get to point A to point B. And if things turn to shit, you leave your house and you are in movement to contact. Let me tell you what that means. For those of you non-military types, when you go out, so when we were set up in Iraq and in Afghanistan in what was called forward operating bases, Bagram, Kandahar, those were operating bases, airfields, supply, logistics. And then we would move outside the wire and move to our different forward operating bases around the country. Every time you left the wire, you were in movement to contact. It means you were moving until you either got to where you're going, or you were moving to move in contact with the enemy. And most of the time, movement to contact means we are moving to contact the enemy to either assess their strength or destroy them. If this is a grid down scenario, if this is a scenario where the system collapses and the logistics collapse, guess what? Every time you leave your house, it's movement to contact. And I know there's a host of military guys that are going to, you know, give me a bunch of feedback, but just bear with me. I'm trying to talk to people who don't understand any of the military terms. And, you know, most people don't plan about what happens if a vehicle breaks on the way there. And if you're moving 250 miles, you might as well be on a different fucking planet. Because 250 miles on foot is months. 250 miles in a car at speed is 5 hours. But if you're doing 10 miles an hour and you've got some, you know, tire blown, or you've got, you know, issues with the vehicle and you have to dismount, how much of that shit you're going to carry? Because water, food, ammo, clothes, medical gear, all that shit's heavy. And most people don't plan for that. They don't plan for the route. They don't plan for the time. They don't plan for the distance. They don't plan for the equipment or spare parts that they might go through on the way there. And they definitely don't plan for any kind of contact with the enemy. I mean, how could you, right? You don't think about that. Everything is awesome, right? Hey, the wheels came off. Everything is awesome. We're still going to get there. Uh-huh. And then what do you do if somebody gets injured or hurt or killed? Then what do you do? Do you leave their body there or drag them with you? You got to plan for all of that, right? And it, the same goes for the scenario of if I'm traveling, how do I get back to my safe area? And the same goes for if I'm at home and everything turns to shit, but all of my, you know, my family, kids are at school, you know, husband or wife is at work. What's our plan? How does everybody get home? How do we get to the kids? All those things have to be planned. That's a better focus of your time than sitting around worried about what fucking Trump just posted on True Social. Who cares? Spend your time on that, because you can get, you can use that. You can action that when the system goes sideways. You can't action Trump's tweet when there's an EMP and you only have one of your generators out of two that's working, or one of your power cells that's working and the other one got fried. Then you're going to have to start making decisions. Practice making those decisions. In fact, there's a challenge by Yavapai Oath Keepers, the Arroyos. Love those two. Those two are salt of the earth. And they're so far ahead of everybody else, it's amazing. But they have a challenge. What's it called? Let me look it up here. They posted a challenge on Telegram. Basically live off the grid from 1600 on a Friday to 2000 on a Sunday and see how you do. Means no cell phones, no external power, no AC. Down here it's AC. And see how you do. And I can tell you that that'll be a wake-up call for just about anybody that does it. Because you're going to figure out that your fucking generator doesn't work. Or you're going to figure out that there's no oil in the generator. Or you're going to fry something. Which is why we say all the time, use your gear. Because, case in point, I have a couple of survival ponchos that I always keep in my vehicle. I was emptying my vehicle to take it down to get it detailed, cleaned up. And literally the bag and the poncho fell apart in my hand. Like literally it was dust. And it only been in there like 2 months. That's why we say use your stuff. That's a better use of your time than going out and spending time worrying about and trying to do the deep dive on all the different noise that's in the system today. Because let me ask you a question. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about the fact that Obama went to the island and Clinton went to the island 27 times and Bill Gates went to the island 11 times? What are you going to do with that? Nothing. You're not going to do shit with it. So why worry about it? I'm worried about the things that I can actually do something about. I'm worried about things I can do to help other people. I'm worried about things I can do to help my family. That's a better use of your time. And if you hear me say anything tonight, hear that. Go spend your time doing things that matter. Go spend it on the secret sauce. Ignore the noise. It's going to be there week in and week out. And expand your sphere of influence and your line of sight. For those of you new who don't know what that is, sphere of influence is literally the group of people around you. And I've surrounded myself with people that have earned my trust. And people that I know, when the chips are down, are going to be trustworthy. And that's a very small list of people when you start. And you add people to your sphere of influence based on the fact that they earn your trust and you know they're going to be there when the chips are down. There's enough fair weather, you know, conformist retards out there to last a lifetime. But good people that are going to be next to you when a fight's going, they're really fucking hard to find. And especially people that have a moral compass and a backbone, they're extremely hard to find. And then you add to it people with a moral compass and a backbone that actually know how to do something. They're very hard to find. That's your sphere of influence. And your line of sight expands. The more people you add to your sphere of influence, the more tentacles you have into the community around you to be able to get visibility on what's going on. That's why I say that. That's why I think it's important. Because that line of sight will be life and death. And if you're just boxed up in your house by yourself, you can't see anything, you can't hear anything, you can't move anywhere, and you can't do shit. So now's the time to be making friends, making contacts, and expanding your sphere of influence. And, you know, God bless people like Janet and Jim Arroyo, because they have been doing this for years, getting people prepared. And that's the other part of the good news, is I'm seeing more people asking about how they get prepared and get involved to get to know people in their community, and then are trying to learn skills like, you know, gardening, how to prepare food, field sanitation, and even medical training. You'd be surprised how many people are actually asking the question now. People I never would even have thought of either. So that's the good news in all of this. And this could kick off tomorrow or 10 years from now. The point of it is not that. The point of it is to be ready all the time. 80% ready 100% of the time. And I can't call that my own, because that's a troop saying, and I shamelessly stole that and use it on a regular basis because it's true. And then the other side of it is, be reasonable about what you can and can't do to prepare for things and be ready for a contingency. There's only so much anyone can do. Don't have these expectations. Yeah, I'm going to have the RV with the plot of land, and I'm going to have it fortified with a moat, and I'm going to have 10-foot walls that are concrete, and I'm going to staff it with Muppets. Not everybody's going to have that capability. Most people will have their house, their community, and the strength is in numbers, not in stuff. Remember that as you do your planning. And remember that anytime you have the ability to engage people and to start making contacts, you should. The worst thing that you can, worst thing can happen, they tell you to fuck off. The best thing that can happen is you make a contact. Slowly over time, you'll make more contacts. It's a numbers game. The more people you engage, the better off you're going to be. The more people you have in your sphere of influence, the more line of sight you're going to have. And all that takes engagement. You can't do that if you're on your phone. You definitely can't do it if you're sitting on your ass at your house. So you got to get out there. And this online forum is great if you can find people in your local area. Most people can't. So keep that in mind too. You're going to have to get off your ass, and you're going to have to go find either a church or a community activity that allows you to meet other people that are worried about the same things. And you'll be able to figure that out. There's tons of not just preparedness, emergency preparedness places now, but there's tons of groups that are actively talking about how to prepare for contingencies. All you have to do is look for them, and you'll find them in your local area. Just look up preparedness in your local area. You'll see probably 10 groups. Now, some of them are going to be whack jobs, you know, preparing for zombie apocalypse or alien invasion. Look, if the alien invasion happens and it's real, chances are they're going to out-tech us anyway. So I'm not really worried about that scenario. I'm not really worried about the EMP scenario either, because they don't want to burn the house to the ground. I mean, during a wartime contingency, yeah, that's very plausible. But for the rest of it, I don't see how it could be. And they don't want to burn the house that they want to live in. So keep that in mind. And last but not least, make sure the people you care about know you care about them. It's pretty simple. Don't leave it to chance. My kids know how I feel. My girlfriend knows how I feel about her. My family knows how I feel about them. Make it a part of your daily battle rhythm to talk to somebody you care about. Just one person a day. Start there. And you'll find that over time, you will have less and less dependence on social media and all of the noise spectrum to keep you occupied. You'll be actually making human connections with people you actually care about. Spend your time doing that. I'll be back on Tuesday. Not sure what we're going to talk about. We'll see how the weekend goes, see what happens over the weekend. If nothing happens over the weekend, I'm going to talk about the SIG P320, and I'm going to talk about shotguns, and I'm going to talk about ARs. And I'll be in my shop, so I'll have to get set up out there and get some space cleared off so I can talk through all these and show all these, do some show and tell. But yeah, I'm going to start talking some guns now. Till then, God bless everyone. One team, one fight.